And a top of the morning to you folks live from the Permian Basin Hiring Events, MCM Grand Fun Dome and Hotel. My name is Jason Spies. I am with the Crude Life here, and we are being joined today by Jordan Sadler.
Yes, sir.
Did we say that right, Sadler?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Jordan Sadler, he's with Drag Up Coffee. Drag Up Coffee. And it looks like you got a Gmail address, so that says startup, pal.
Yep, definitely a startup.
All right, good deal. So we got a startup coffee company here. How's that going, by the way? We'll get into your coffee shop, your specific coffee blend and why it separates from the pack. But, you know, the craft breweries and the coffee shops kind of seem to, they went kind of around that same spike of momentum, you know, as far as startups go. And then, of course, COVID happened and the pandemic, and then, of course, people maybe didn't realize they didn't like hops as much as they thought, so the IPA market kind of leveled out, and same thing with coffee, of course, you know. People, they try different kinds, and so it's hard to navigate those first 5 years of a spike because so many people are trying different things, and you don't know what to really go towards and everything. So explain, how's the startup going, where are you guys at, and I'll shut up for a while and let you talk.
So we're based out of Houston, Texas. We started Drag Up Coffee in October, September of 2020, about mid COVID season, I guess you would call it.
When was that again?
Like August, September of 2020.
Okay.
So I was working offshore for a subsea company, and I told my wife that I wanted to invest the money into something. Coffee was something that everybody drinks. Everybody needs some sort of caffeine, except for like the 1% to 2% who don't. And I actually ended up running into a coffee bean farmer. Like around the time I was coming up with the company and thinking and planning out how I want to do it, I ran into the farmer. So it was kind of like a sign to me. I cut out all middleman. So I go straight to source, and we do all small batch roasting. So like I said, we work directly with the farmers in Honduras, so you get a coffee that's from farm to bag, not a bean that's been sitting around, not a coffee that's been sitting around after being roasted for a year or two and then being sold to you. So our coffee is literally one of the freshest you can possibly get.
Right. There's not a lot of middlemen.
Yeah.
Well, that's time, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm from North Dakota, and we honestly, the state didn't even basically hear of an oil rig until 2008, right?
Yeah.
So, well, it was all agriculture for so long because, quite honestly, the 80s and late 70s was the last oil activity in North Dakota.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking 30 years of generations, right, of no oil and gas experience at all.
Yeah.
But we do have ag.
Yeah.
And here's what I know about ag is the minute you cut something off of the stalk or the vine, there's an expiration date.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if it's a cucumber or a legume.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of legumes up in North Dakota. We've like number one in the pulse crop. So we talk about that quite a bit, you know, with these ag, or when we have rail shortages and backing up trains and, you know, and that sort of thing with the railroad. That becomes problematic, and then you put middlemen in there, and all of a sudden now you got that. So,
and if they have any sort of issue within their company, then you have to deal with that, and that time frame extends, and so on and so on. It's a domino effect.
Well, let's talk about Drag Up Coffee a little bit. I'm looking at the donut shop because for me, I'll be honest, man, I like me a black coffee. The bolder, the better. I don't get too much into the flavored coffee, but you know what? A few of the friends I have and girlfriends in my past, they don't get into the non-flavored stuff. They like a little hint of a pecan here, and they like a little hint of a little Irish cream. I don't know how you guys do it, but talk to me about the different varieties of coffee that you have.
So the donut shop I call the relationship blend. So it's normally one person in a relationship usually likes non-flavored coffee. The other person tends to like all the creamer in the world. So with the donut shop, that's what it is. It's non-flavored. And with it being small batch roasted and freshly roasted, you get zero bitter bite. So whenever you put or your significant other puts in any type of creamer or flavoring whatsoever is what it's going to taste like. When I go do, you know, holiday markets and little farmers markets and stuff here and there just to help get the name out there, I'll bring a Fruity Pebbles creamer. And anybody who loves Fruity Pebbles will understand, you know, That's amazing. So with the donut shop, I would mix the Fruity Pebbles creamer with the donut shop, and it would taste like a warm cup of Fruity Pebbles milk.
Where does one get Fruity Pebbles creamer? I've never heard of such a thing.
Just the stores. I found it at all of our local HEB, Kroger's,
you know, Walmart. Goodness, boy, I tell you what. Yeah. I'm living in the future, folks. I can't believe it. Honestly,
the creamer game has changed.
What you just said, the what was it again? It was
Fruity
the,
Pebbles.
Fruity Pebbles. I almost said Trix. I'm sure they have that, too.
Probably.
The Fruity Pebbles creamer reminded me of when I saw Sour Patch Kids Blizzard.
Yeah.
I mean, my teeth just hurt reading that.
Yeah. It's so, like you scheduled a dentist appointment just thinking about it. Like, yeah, let's go ahead and take care of this.
How many different colors of sugar can we put together? But anyway, sorry, folks. I digress. But Fruity Pebbles creamer, you just blew my mind there, yeah, right? You're live on the air.
Like the what you're imagining is exactly how it tastes.
Like I said, my coffee actually stains stainless steel. Okay, so that's how black my mud is. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how this is done, and you know, so you mentioned that the kind of the farm to table, if you will, of coffee. Let's talk about the freshness and the importance of that, and how some of these small batches are so much more of almost like a craft or a quality than, you know, sweatshop coffee. Because that's what I call it.
Yeah.
Honestly, I call Folgers sweatshop coffee.
Yeah, because they do quantity over quality. They try to roast as much as possible at
churn
once.
Churn and burn, literally, folks.
Yeah. So the deal with small batch roasting is literally, like I say, like look at a microwave. You put something in the microwave, usually the outside is going to get burnt before the inside even starts cooking, right? So I say look at a large batch roasting like that. You're going to overcook the outside and not cook the inside enough, or you're going to overcook the outside to where you do cook the inside enough and everything's going to be burnt to a crisp and zero flavor and all bitterness. So what small batch roasting is, it's the definition, it's in the name of it, it's just small quantities, even roasting. When you get a bag of coffee and you look at your beans, every bean's going to be the same color, or the grounds are going to be the same color. I've seen bags of coffee where it goes from a light to a dark, you know, mid bag. So that's like, it's in its name, it's small batch roasting, and it's roasted freshly weekly. You know, we roast batches of anything from our Texas pecan to our apple pie, weekly. Everything, you know, I have here today with, the Crew Life was roasted within the last 72 hours. So, you know, it's all about freshness, and it's all about, just quality over quantity.
No, you're out of Houston, Texas made, it says on here, made by oil field hands, and the donut on the donut shop coffee has a hard hat on it.
Yeah. That was my little joke.
I don't know about the gloves, if they're FR or not. I'll let you get into that. But
we just keep that coffee away from HSC so they don't check it.
Right? Exactly. Knowing them, they probably wouldn't carry it because of that reason. They'd be like, you get FR clothes on that, you know, cartoon donut, then we'll carry it.
Are those cut resistant?
Exactly. A little bit of the relationship that with oil and gas, because it's quite obvious you're putting that front and center.
Yes.
So you're trying to reach out to the oil and gas community. So reach out to them, you know, talk about, you know, your relationship with them and why you chose to go this direction, because you know, not everybody's going this direction right now.
No. I mean, one thing I've always wanted to do, I've always wanted to own my own company. I've worked in the oil and gas industry, you know, fresh out of high school. Worked anywhere from the shops to offshore. Most of my time in the subsea or in the oil and gas industry was in subsea operations. But the one thing that kind of bothered me, and I don't know why it bothered me so much, was just the perspective of the oil field guys, the oh yeah, y'all make all that money and you blow it, and you know, if you have to work every day of the week or you're not going to be able to afford your lifestyle, blah blah blah. And it kind of rubbed me the wrong way. I had a lot of people, a lot of family kind of talking mess about it, and I was like, you know what, I go, when I start making that real good money, I was like, I'm gonna invest in something. I'm gonna start my own company. I'm doing my own thing. And the one thing I haven't seen is anybody really from the oil and gas industry taking their money and putting it in for themselves and doing something for themselves. You know, you see all other types of companies, you see veteran owned companies, you see all kinds of different niche owned companies, but you don't see oil and gas. And I don't know, I kind of wanted to show that we're not just blue collar guys. I never went to college. I've turned wrenches my entire life. Now I'm a CEO of a company. Like, I've always told people we do 90% of the blue collar boys do 90% of the work. We just got to learn the other 10%. This was the other 10%. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to learn it, and then I'm done. This is my job now.
How do people buy it? Can they? I mean, obviously, you got a website, I imagine.
Yeah, so dragupcoffee.com, and we ship globally. We've shipped everywhere from Ireland to Canada, and we obviously ship coast to coast. So dragupcoffee.com, we have everything from an apple pie, a pumpkin, Texas pecan, coconut vanilla, Irish cream, and donut shop. We also have apparel as well.
Apparel?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so shirts and sweatshirts, yes, and coffee mugs?
Coffee mugs.
Okay. And what kind of distribution do you guys have? Is it primarily or just online? Do you have obviously you don't have a brick and mortar,
yeah,
right? You don't have a kiosk one of those roadside kiosks
in the middle of the mall.
Oh, God bless that worker for working in that. I mean, it's got, what is it, the size of two outhouses?
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest here. It's not very big.
No. And only one person could fit in there.
I mean, it's the only place the toll booth guy can laugh at, right? Because the toll booth's kind of small.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like a plush palace compared to those roadside coffee kiosks. Oh, the human being.
I thought about making one. I thought about building one. I was like, I'm a big guy. Nah.
Well, what I've seen actually kind of the trend is they'll take like a modified fifth wheel.
Yeah.
And they'll kind of turn that into one of these roadside kiosks coffees. Well, that's a great idea.
I thought about converting a taco truck.
Okay.
Into a coffee shop and pull up on job sites. Like even if I came out here and worked a deal with some of these drillers about where I can pull up on the job site like a taco truck with coffee. But that's future. That's future. That's next 5 years.
I honestly do believe that a mobile coffee shop would do well.
Yeah.
I really do. And here's why I say that is because a lot of folks, you don't know this. I'm going to let you into the little bit of the crude life past here because we're going to be in our 10th year next year. Okay.
Well, that's congratulations.
And well, thank you. Our first year, one radio station. We had one lowly magazine, newspaper kind of a thing, column. And we, this is no kidding. we were out in the Bakken before they had internet.
Yeah.
Like before the Wi-Fi came out there in the fiber optics. So we thought we were going to have this social media presence back in 2012. Well, there wasn't any Wi-Fi or jetpacks available and that sort of thing. So we were a food truck.
Yeah.
So we had a food truck where we broadcast our daily show from, and our social media, we were going to do, 50% of our platform was going to be social media driven, right? Because we were in the middle of nowhere. Well, because there was no Wi-Fi and all these problems that happened back then, we had to joke and just say on the radio, come by the food truck, that's our social media, old school social media, face-to-face. And now that's what people are salivating for.
Yeah.
They really are. That's why I think a mobile coffee shop would work, actually.
No, I've seen in like some of these bigger neighborhoods in the area I live in where they have on the neighborhood Facebook page, every day is a different food truck comes through the neighborhood. Like, oh, we got the lobster macaroni trucks coming through. We'll be like, say, huh? Like, yeah, every Thursday lobster macaroni comes through. We'll be like, thank you.
The food truck's a great business as long as you don't have to drive it. Because as soon as you drive it, you have a whole side business of maintenance and all this other stuff. It's kind of like podcasting. As soon as you leave your room, you might have to hire an engineer now.
Yeah.
And then there's a full-time IT guy. Well, same thing with you. As soon as you go to the next level, there's new costs that come into play. And
we're already looking at buying another roaster and hiring another roaster.
See, and that's now, there's all kinds of new responsibilities in there as a business owner. And, man, I'm just telling you, after 10 years, my business model has changed 3 times. I've had to completely reinvent myself to where now I don't even know what we are. We're like a brand that we've thought about putting out coffee as the Crude Life.
Yeah.
God, could you guys do a Crude Life brand? Like a
blend?
A blend?
Yeah. We could do like a dark roast, if that's what you would want. Whatever.
Oh, could you?
Yeah. And
we'd promote that every day.
For a dark roast.
That'd especially for your audience. We would promote that every day. In fact, we gotta work out a deal for a promo code, and we'll just start doing, like I do with MyPillow, we'll work it out and get people, we'll be a distribution for you. Why not? Hey, I mean, if it's about just getting it in front of people and shipping it to them, we'll help you out with that. That sounds great. And let me try this donut shop coffee a little bit later, and I'll let my girlfriend try out the Irish cream, and let my other girlfriend try out the beach.
If you're a fan of non-flavored, try the Texas pecan.
I'll let my Oklahoma girlfriend try out the Texas pecan. And how many more bags you got? I got a few more states.
Hey, we have a pumpkin and an apple pie that I'm currently sort of roasting right now as we speak back home. We're literally shipping off the roaster.
Oh, no
kidding. With the fall blends out right now, they're selling like hotcakes. So we literally ship off. So if anybody on here orders a bag of apple pie or pumpkin, you're literally getting a day old coffee.
I'm serious about the Crude Life roast, man. If you would do something like that, I would be all in about helping that thing as much as I can, because that's cool.
Yeah. Well, I try to launch a new yearly blend every first quarter. So like last year or this year, I launched the coconut vanilla, the beach, as a new yearly blend. So for 2022, the first quarter, I wanted to launch a dark roast. It's been one of the ones I've been asked for the most. So, I mean, I think the Crude Life, that's a perfect name for a dark roast.
Yeah, we've already got three shows booked for next June. So, I mean, you got three public appearances right there with the where we can debut it and figure out a few other. Who knows? Maybe we can start serving some of it at conferences.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, there's all kinds of opportunities. See, this is what I love about small businesses is you get a couple business owners together. And all of a sudden,
and
we can get a cocktail napkin out and come up with the next $1 million idea.
No, I had a guy on TikTok Live the other night give me the next $1 million idea.
How's that going for you?
Oh, amazing.
It is.
Amazing.
But, and you know, here's the thing. Okay, so we did an event in Watford City. I'm just looking at the time here, folks. We did an event in Watford City where we brought in a social media expert.
Yeah.
Okay, she actually taught at the college. And expert, whatever, educator, you know. And we had her just give everybody an update where we're at. And it was actually kind of meant to help kind of scrub some pages, you know, like, hey, you know, you and HVAC, instead of using this wording, use this wording, because I'm a professional writer, so I was going to help out too.
Yeah.
Well, we got on TikTok and didn't get off it. Like, literally within the first 3 minutes, TikTok came up. The first question was about TikTok. The next hour, we didn't leave TikTok because the advancements that TikTok had made with becoming a new Facebook and a new Twitter, and that they're a new platform. They're not music videos.
Well, no, and it's the first real platform where you're broadcasted worldwide 24/7.
Exactly, and that's why we're actually the Crude Life. We moved into a new studio this last month, actually 2 weeks ago. So I came right from the Permian, went back, moved my studio for a week into this big shop with a drain, 20-foot overhead ceilings, right?
Yeah.
And we're actually putting a greenhouse in there because it's the Industrial Forest studio.
Yeah.
Because we're combining the Crude Life and the Industrial Forest to do TikTok videos. That's what we're doing next year.
Yeah.
That's our big launch next year, is we have to focus on TikTok. And I didn't see that coming 6 months ago.
Mm.
We were going to figure out how to use Twitter again.
Yeah.
And then, duh. Well, because we actually have a journalism bend with our...
Yeah.
And so Twitter is really good with journalism.
Yeah.
But it's not really that good with oil field. But we got to remember, we're a journalist at first, so we're doing well. Anyway, so point is, folks, the TikTok is doing well. What are you on TikTok? I don't even know the handles. How
it's
do you follow?
Drag Up Coffee.
Drag Up. DRAGUP.
UP.
True. So I tried to say Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez are brothers one time, and I said Emilio Estebrothers.
Estebrothers.
Because I speak way too fast before I think. Drag Up Coffee. Okay. Donut Shop, Irish Cream, Texas Pecan, The Beach, and you mentioned you have an apple pie?
And a pumpkin. Pumpkin AF.
And a pumpkin. Do you have a universal price? Is it marked different?
They're all $12.99.
Okay, $12.99 for a bag.
Yes, sir.
And that comes shipped?
$12.99, and we ship direct to your doorstep anywhere between. If it's one bag, it's $4.99. If it's two or more, it's $8.99.
Look at that Crude Life hat. Looks gorgeous, man.
But we will ship direct to your doorstep anywhere in the country, technically anywhere in the world.
Do you guys do a coffee club yet?
Yes. We do have a monthly subscription.
All right.
And you get to save 10% off every bag of coffee when you subscribe. So if you subscribe to a bag of coffee, it's $11.69, I think, instead of $12.99.
Okay. We'll talk about some of that off the air too, because that's another market, by the way, mm-hmm. that I don't think people understand. They should have got into it 4 years ago.
I just got into it.
We're into it next year as well.
Yeah,
and we're actually going to be launching it right around Black Friday time.
Yeah,
depending on how soon I can get it done. As I look and I'm going, I have to have something to the printer in the next 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Which needs to be for an event tonight at 4 o'clock we're having. Because boy,
but you're still thinking 10 months away too, though.
Right.
It's just, it doesn't stop.
It's craziness. And then also you got to make sure you're gonna be around.
Yep.
So that's the other whole part of it. Sorry, folks. We had a little CEO talk there, because here on the Crude Life, we do a lot of existential energy, which is the 5,000-foot view of the 5,000-foot view. That's what we call it here. But let's kind of wrap up a little bit and let people know once again, you know, what you're about, how they can support your business, purchase it, that kind of thing, you know, as we kind of do a nice summary of what we just talked about.
All right, so it's Drag Up Coffee. The website is dragupcoffee.com. We are a small batch roaster out of Houston, Texas. It's all small batch roasted to order, and we work directly with the farmers in Honduras. So it's from farm to bag, the freshest coffee you can get.
Thank you very much. Jordan Sadler, he's with Drag Up Coffee. He's the CEO. dragupcoffee@gmail.com, dragupcoffee.com. My name is Jason Spies. I'm with The Crude Life, and we are live here at the Permian Basin Hiring Events, MCM Grande Fun Dome and Hotel. It's the hiring event spectacular happening here. Of course, myself, Jason Spies, Ken Lavin here on location. We'll be back with more interviews.